really don't want to go back in it, so I think I'm just going to take my time. I'm going to relax and just sail along. Is that okay? Hey, we got 35 minutes, so I'm going to take 45, and we'll go from there. So I'm going to take you on a quick journey. This week, we're going to talk about, now you're going to say this is unexpected, because I'm going to kind of take an unexpected journey to where I want to take you to the end. Here's the thing, though. Are you all awake? I got some leftover red velvet because I'm trying to cut the sugar, and so if you want to come up here and sip off of me, I wouldn't suggest it, but I think right now my lungs are good, so I don't think you'll get anything, but you never know with me, so you just don't know, but if you need to wake up. I want to just say one thing before I take you on a biblical Old Testament journey, okay? I think that in general, we oftentimes don't pray about healing. And I think that it has to do less with God and more with our faith. And actually, oftentimes, I think it has to do less with God and more with our minds. Because, see, our minds convince us about some things about God, that it is what it is. So live with him and just be okay with it. And I just don't think that that's the God that we serve. But I want you to think as we're going along today to maybe just challenge yourself. Again, every Sunday is about opening yourself up to more of what God may have for you. And so today, open yourselves up for a little bit more of what God might have for you. But maybe today you need to ask yourself, if you've stopped, why have you stopped believing in healing? Now, I'll just give it to you. Let's just be honest. And I want to kind of lay this out in the beginning. I think that if we look at the ministry of Jesus, when he walked on earth, he focused on, now you can't say this because he did both ways. Some would say, well, if you're sick, it's because of sin. I think sometimes that's true. But sometimes in the Bible, Jesus just healed the physical. There wasn't much to do with the spiritual, and he just healed the physical and said, go on and let people know. Sometimes he said, go on and. And then sometimes in the case of the leper, he'd said things like, clean. See, back in that day, if you had leprosy, they considered you unclean. You couldn't touch them. And if you touched them, you were clean. And not in the physical, in the spiritual. And oftentimes we see Jesus, so don't get all riled up. We see Jesus combine what? The physical and the spiritual and healing. And he sends people away, both physically and spiritually healed. But what's significant is his main focus throughout his ministry was the spiritual healing. Because at some point, this body is not going to make it in this earth, and we're going to have to enter into our new being that God is currently creating for each and every one of us. Okay, so I cleared that up. Are you ready for a journey? Are you awake? Do you got to like sit up, shake your coat or something? Slap the person next to you? I don't know. Whatever you got to do, I want you to go with me on this journey, okay? And it's going to be out of, or we're going to end at, Genesis chapter 32, verse 9. Most of you will know where this is about Jacob. But I'm going to start all the way back at Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Do, 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 do. Okay. All right. So you're with me, okay? So we're going back to Father Abraham. I did that to get your attention, okay? So we're going back to Father Abraham. And if you remember, he was first Abram and Sarai. God loves changing names after he does something incredible. God loves having encounters with his people and saying, no longer are you Saul, but you are Paul. No longer are you Abram, but you're Abraham. See, God does something, and I think it's something beautiful because oftentimes, since we don't change our names after big encounters, mine would be like every week, you know what I'm saying? Because Ashley says I'm learning every week, so it'd be like Joe, Joseph, Josephine. I mean, it would just keep going. Most of you would just be like once or twice. But anyway, here's the thing. He loves to make big changes in names to say, hey, I have done something, and you are no longer who you were. So interestingly enough, God gives Abram and Sarai a promise. And unfortunately, they were older. And in their minds, they looked at human limitations instead of God possibilities. And Sarai made the decision to go to Abram and say, hey, let's just have Hagar, our servant, bear a child. And so that's where we get Ishmael. That's a whole different sermon and series. And I'm going to skip a bunch of scriptures. So when you say you didn't cover, I don't have all day, even though I do, you may not, okay? And so we've got this birth of Ishmael. Then we move on to, finally, Sarai, in her old age, has a child. And the child's name is? Two of you know. Okay, so I will maybe go in a little more detail than I thought I was going to, but Isaac, okay? And we see this promise come to be. This is significant. Now, as things go along, Isaac grows up, and he gets married to Rebecca. Now, if you remember this, Rebecca goes to the Lord because she's with child. I love saying that, with child. Y'all with me? I just with child. Anyway, I don't know why. It's just like the biblical way to say you're pregnant. But and so here we are, Abraham's son Isaac. Isaac is now married to Rebecca, and they are pregnant, and she has two children in her womb, and they are struggling. If you remember the scripture, it says that they're struggling. Interesting, right? That she could see the struggle in the womb before they even came out. And there was a struggle bigger than the physical. So she goes to the Lord as a good, faithful woman would. And the Lord says what? You have two nations in there. I mean, this is kind of wild, right? She's like, no, I have two babies. And he's like, no, you have two nations. She didn't actually say that. I'm just saying what she probably was thinking, right? And he says, you have two nations in there, and one will be stronger than the other. One will be my promise keeper. And so we move on a little bit longer, and we see that she births out Esau, who was red and hairy. Quite a picture, right? Just picture that in your mind, a baby, red and hairy, okay? It's an interesting look, okay? But hey, that's all right. He was going to be a huntsman, strong, kind of out in the wild, just really a kind of burly man, okay? So we got the burly man, and now I don't know if it's appropriate to say, but then we have Jacob, who comes out, who's kind of your metrosexual. Is that a bad word? It's just true. Like, he's home cooking and stuff, and Esau comes back, and so they grow up some. But don't forget, Jacob, as it says in Scripture, held the heel of Esau as he came out of the womb. Okay, so there's a lot of theology there. Remember, promise, one of them would be stronger. One of them would keep the line of Abraham. Remember, God said to Abraham that your descendants will be like the stars. And so right now, just think of a good starry night, and that's the descendants. And we sang that song to remind us that you're a part of that. And then this promise is going to continue with Isaac. And then on to one of Isaac's children. We would normally assume in the Old Testament it would be the firstborn. Okay, well, obviously we get that. But then they grow. There's this funneling, holding onto the heel, promise moving, shifting. We'll get into that another day, another year. And we see Esau out hunting, providing for the family. And we get this picture of Jacob at home cooking. In fact, it tells us in Scripture that he was preparing a meal. Now, many of us get on Esau because we say, why in the world would you sell your birthright? We don't talk much about birthright in our society, but just think about it, like all the blessings that come with a birthright in that day. And so he comes back, he's famished. Have you ever been famished? Listen, have kids and they eat, and then an hour later they think they're famished. I'm like, we just ate. I made a whole meal. How are you hungry? We forced you to eat. Like, that's my upbringing. Like, you're going to eat this whether you like it or not. They eat it, and then an hour later, they want to eat again. I don't understand it. This is different. In fact, Scripture says that he was at the end of himself. It was very similar to the moment that Jesus was lifted away after the temptation. And so we're talking, this dude stayed out trying to find food as long as he could until he could no longer take it, came back in, and here's Jacob stirring the soup. And Esau, I can kind of picture this. You've got to picture this, dragging himself in. Nothing really left of himself. A hunter that had diminished down to nothing. No real progress out bringing food back to the family. And he comes in, and here's the brother stirring the food. And he says this. He says, well, I'll give you food if you'll sell me or give me your birthright. In desperation, something Esau regrets in the future, he does what? He hands the birthright over. Now, church, this is not just any birthright. See, in our minds, we're saying, well, I mean, I was the firstborn. I ain't getting nothing from it. Well, that's different. But here, there was a promise attached to this. A promise that would affect and influence even you today. A promise that you would be a part of the line of Jesus. The Jesus that we just sang about. And so, for a bowl of soup and some bread, Esau passes on his birthright to Jacob. Now, I'm going to skip a whole bunch. Are you ready for that? And so just, if you know it all, good for you. You go home and read more about this later. And Jacob grows. Y'all ever grown before? I grow a lot, and then I decrease, and then I grow. You know what I'm saying? It's back and forth. He grows, and he doesn't just grow in age. He grows in his heart, in his love and passion for the Lord. He begins to change. The decisions he made as a young man, he no longer has a desire to make. And as the promise was foretold, he becomes prosperous. He becomes wealthy. He has servants upon servants and families upon family, and it's just incredible. We also see that he marries, now don't get any ideas, guys. He marries Leah and Rachel, and so we see this kind of significance come to be. And something happened early on in his life. He fled, really, as the encouragement of others said he should flee, because obviously eventually Esau realized, right, what he had lost. And so there was kind of like a barrier, a limitation, a past hurt, never worked through, never discussed. You ever been there before? Have you ever had something from the past that you kind of just left there, put it under the stone, and hoped it would never be uncovered? So now 20 years down the road, he's got these families, these children. He had Joseph with Rachel. Y'all know Joseph, coat of many colors. Are you with me here? And then the news of Esau coming to see him comes to his ears. Now, church, I want you to think about this in relation to you. Have you ever had something hidden from the past that you just thought, you know what, I'm just going to let it go, I'm going to cut it off, I'm going to hope it never resurfaces? Now, if you were a politician, right, you would know this well, because what do they do nowadays? They say, hey, 59 and a half years ago, you happened to talk cross to so-and-so, and we found it. See, we can relate to that. Here it comes. Jacob says, oh, my goodness, my undealt with mess, my unresolved stuff is coming back to get me. So what does he do? Well, he begins to send servants ahead. He begins to get information. He begins to come up with, have you ever been in a bad spot and all of a sudden you're coming up with plans? So he says, okay, if I split my whole family up and all my wealth up, I'll put the ones I really don't care about in this court and the ones that I really care about with me in this court. And well, I mean, he just starts coming up with plans. Have you ever done that before? You know it's coming, and all of a sudden you start sweating bullets, making changes, trying to come up with plans. Oftentimes, never, ever just going to Jesus and saying, hey, what should I do? It's coming. You know it's coming. How can you help me? We can't forget about the dream that Jacob had, because remember, he's grown. He's no longer the immature Jacob that was once trying to steal from. He's now grown in the Lord, and so he has this dream, and we call it Jacob's ladder. You know what I'm talking about? It's a beautiful dream. There's a ladder, and there's this heaven and earth kind of combined. If you translate it, you see that it shows that God still has a desire to dwell with his people. And that ladder signifies the connection, and it also solidifies in Jacob's heart that he is going to use Jacob to keep the promise going. Again, Jacob is confirmed. Then we get back to, he's sending people ahead. Let's divert them. Let's try to. And so then we get to this scripture. Y'all ready for the scripture? Tired of my description? Stand up. Go to chapter 5. I'm sorry, 32, verse 9. And we're going to go on a little journey through the scripture. Now, I want you to think about this, because often we don't think about this. But I want you to think about this in relation to a struggle. The undealt with past is coming to hit Jacob. But Jacob's a different person. He's no longer who he was. He has changed his heart, his mind, his projection. He gets it. And so he decides to be determined. Now in the scripture, it's going to say man, but if you understand it well, Jacob is wrestling with, y'all don't know this either. All right, well, it's good that we're reading it, okay? God. And Jacob said, O God, my father Abraham, and God, my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, return to your country and to your kindred, that I may do good. I am not worthy of the least of all these deeds of steadfast love and all faithfulness. So he stayed there that night. I'm going to skip to verse 13. Sorry, I got ahead of myself. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him that he may come and attack me. The mothers with the children, but you said, I will surely do good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for the multitude. So he stayed there that night, and from what he had with him, he took. I'm sorry. I'm something in 22. Are y'all okay? I already described all this. Okay, sorry. Go with me. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And here we go. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, come on now, this is Jacob's perseverance. So all night they struggled, all night they wrestled. I'm sure you've heard this preached. He touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the day is broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Then he said, come on now, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. He persevered. He pushed through. He said, no longer am I going to hide behind the lies. No longer am I going to hide behind the past. No longer am I just going to, I'm going to face it. And he faced it all night long. But your name will now be Israel. Israelites, are you all with me? This is significant. For you have striven with God and with men have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, please, please, tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask me my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. The sun rose upon him as he passed, Peniel limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew, of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. And it never says that God healed that. And so that was a part of his existence from then on. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked and beheld. Esau was coming. He couldn't avoid this. He was coming. Everything he tried to do, everything he hid behind, here comes Esau. And 400 men with him. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two female servants. And he put the servants with their children in front. Gosh, I wouldn't want to be the servant. Then Leah with her children and Rachel and Joseph. Now, just to give you, if you're a Bible scholar, listen to who got to be all the way in the back. Now, wonder why the brothers didn't like Joseph. Guess who was all the way in the back, protected the most? Joseph. Hello, it's right here in the scripture. Okay. Joseph, last of all, he himself went on before them, bowing himself to the ground. Okay, he's brave. Something's changed. You know what he did? He put them all in line, and then he said, okay, and he went all the way to the front, in front of every single person, and laid himself on the ground. This is a different Jacob, now Israel. The children whom God has graciously given your servant. Then the servants drew near, and they and their children, and bowed down. Leah likewise and her children drew near and bowed down. And last, Joseph and Rachel drew near, and they bowed down. Esau said, I love this. You know, they were expecting doom. You know, most of the time, the stuff that you get all worked up about, you know what it is? It ain't as much as you got worked up about. Esau's looking around, and he says, what do you mean by all this company that I meet? He's on a totally different page. You know why? Because Jacob had an encounter with God, so God works some things out. To find favor in the sight of my Lord. But Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself. Jacob said, no, please, if I have found favor in your sight, then accept my present from my hand. For I have seen your face, which is like seeing the face of God. Have you ever faced your past? face that undealt with thing, and all of a sudden God brings restoration, and you just, there's such relief and such peace that even after Esau said, just keep your stuff, I've got plenty, Jacob said, no, just take it. God, today, help us. Help us connect this healing to our hero, who is the healer, and his name is Jesus. Help us to get this scripture. Help us to understand how it really speaks to us today. Come against the enemy. We love you so much. We praise you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. I feel like we could be done. All right. So we went on that journey. Can you take a breath? Are you all awake? Like you survived the snow and came in. I want to talk about a couple of things as we go through this. The first thing is realization. Have you ever come to a place in your life where you hit a realization, where something came on you and you just realized that no matter what, you've got to deal with this. You have to encounter this. Interestingly enough, Jacob came to the place where he realized he could no longer run from the past. He could no longer run from his immaturity. But it's hard. I want you to think about this. When you grow, when you mature and you change, do you know how hard it is to go back after years? You're not the same person. You hardly even remember it. I had a time in my life with a pastor. I had said something to him and it plagued me for years. I should have never said it. It was haughty. It was ridiculous. I still believe some of what I face is because of that. It was just a simple thing. And I went back many, many years later. I was a youth pastor full time, and the Lord convicted me and said, you've never gone back and made that right. I said, Lord, well, I'm not the same person. I'd never do that again. I've realized how hard it is to on and on and on, and the Lord kept picking and kept picking and kept picking. And there was something in me that was unsettled that I knew I had to go, and so I did. Crazy enough, that person ended up having to be a part of the church that I was at, and the Lord knew that, and so he was correcting it before we got back. See, that's how good God is. He brought a realization to my mind. I knew I needed to deal with it. Jacob realized that he could no longer run from the Lord. He could no longer hide behind his favor. He could no longer hide behind the promise. He could no longer hide behind the stuff, the wealth, the prosperity. He had to come to the realization that it was time. Church, sometimes we have to come to a place where we realize that it's time. So what happened? He had a God encounter. This is kind of a fun scripture to tell kids and to talk about, and you can have fun with the wrestling analogy, but I want you to think about this. This was bigger than just wrestling. And my uncles and grandparents would always say wrestling. Is that how we say it around here? I don't know. That's what they always said, and he would correct me, and then my mom would say, don't listen to them because they talk like Jersey. And anyway, and so she's all trying to correct my Jersey accent. If you call her, she talks just like a Jerseyan. But here's the thing. There was this encounter that was all night, that was hard, and that obviously God was stronger. He just popped the hip socket, and all of a sudden, but you know what happened? Jacob didn't give up. He didn't stop. He had a resolve. He kept yelling out, "You will bless me." When's the last time that you have spent a significant amount of time wrestling with God? Come on now. When's the last time that you said, you know what? I'm not going to stop until the breakthrough is there. I've realized that this behavior, that this pattern, that this issue, that this past, it needs healing. See, Jacob came to the place where he said in his mind and in his heart, I need healing. I need to get past this. I need to no longer be plagued by this. Where are you at? Is there a place in your life where you've realized, but you've not wrestled enough? See, God encounters are huge. And see, I want you to think about in the progression of the timeline and why I gave you the timeline. It wasn't until the God encountered happened that really change came. Because see, Jacob feared the worst. I believe that when that encounter happened, it changed the human encounter. See, I believe that when we encounter God and we listen to him, it changes human encounters. God knew what was coming in the trajectory of my life, and he knew I had to go back to that person before that person showed up at my church's door to serve there. It's crazy. I wrestled with him for a long time. And finally, I gave up, and it wasn't just a couple days later. And I thought, what in the world? He didn't even say anything. But God knew. God knew that if things were going to go well, that I had to understand and humble myself and say, God, I'm sorry. I have first hurt you. And now I'm going to go back, and I'm going to say, I hurt you, and I'm sorry. Swallow everything that at that time I held on to, which was pride. It's not a big deal. Yet after that encounter, it was. And then God had a way of, and so here, Jacob's encounter, it went all night, and it prepared Jacob for the human encounter. Church, the things that you're wrestling with now, the things that you're realizing now, the things that you're going back and putting the water on the fire are only in preparation for what's next, are only in preparation for your next encounter in the human. He was ready. God encounters lead the way for healthy human encounters. When we don't have God encounters, our human encounters are not as healthy as they could be. Because see, many of you right now, you're saying, well, I mean, I've made it this long. Yeah, Jacob said the same thing. He tried for a while, too, to just kind of... But see, God is about healing. And so Jacob says what? If Jacob were here today, slash Israel, he would say what? Just have the encounter, work through it, wrestle through it, because things get better on the other end. What do we say? We can let it be. We can let it ride. You know what letting it ride does? It eats. And you know what it eats? It eats you. The hidden. You know what I think? This is a total assumption. So this is Pastor Joe theology. So I'm stepping away from the scripture. Is that okay for a second? Since you're not awake, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? I can just, oh, maybe you are. Okay. The hidden. I think there was a lot of hidden. I think that there was a lot of like, because think about it. He left in hiding. He didn't publicly announce that his poor brother was on his deathbed. And he said, the only way I'm going to feed you is if you, I mean, you don't really announce that stuff, right? Or do you announce it? Like when you're nasty to somebody, you don't stand up and say, I was nasty, you know what I mean, and just tell everybody, right? We avoid that in the church, so we don't really like to publicize that. I think that ate at him. And I think that immaturity ate and ate and ate and ate and ate to the point where we don't even know why Esau was coming. He immediately thought the worst. You ever been there before? You don't even know the why, but you're already thinking the worst. And it was all because of the hidden. It was all because of the hidden, undealt with stuff. Jacob uses what he had accumulated to protect himself. If you read the scripture, you should spend time. You know, he thinks about different camps. And so if Esau comes to this camp, only half my wealth will be destroyed. And if he comes to this camp, I mean, he was really developing a process and a plan that wasn't healthy, and it was just to continue to avoid facing the hidden stuff. Maybe we could go as far to say hidden sin, hidden disloyalty, hidden unchristlikeness, but in that day would have been like hidden ungodliness. It wasn't godly, and he kept it hidden. And then he created a facade that obviously didn't totally reflect who he was. Here's what else is interesting. Do you think every person, every servant, every child, every person that he had influence over knew about the hidden? Come on now. He ain't much different than us, right? That hidden stuff just stays hidden. He probably told a, and I know a couple of people knew, but I doubt he was announcing it every week. But the announcement was coming. Because hidden can only stay hidden for so long before it just can't help and come to the light. You know why? You want to know why? The enemy likes to take that stuff that is consuming you, that is scarring you, that would humiliate you, and bring it to light so you can be humiliated. You know what's crazy? He draws you into it. He revels in it. He enjoys you being in it. He brings you to it. He immediately convicts you and puts guilt into you. You say, well, that's God. That's a discussion we can talk about. And you know what he likes to do? He likes to so consume you that you live in fear of it ever even coming out. And then all of a sudden, here's Jacob. It's a coming his way. You know what I think he was thinking? Oh, he's going to get here and he's going to tell everybody what I did. He's going to get here and tell them how he was on his deathbed and he's going to tell them. Some of you today, the enemy is speaking to you right now and saying, yep, it's going to come out. Because you know what? The enemy can't wait for it to come out. So you can be humiliated. But you know what? When we have a God encounter and the hidden comes out because the Lord's drawing it out, he has a way of doing what? Healing. Healing before the encounter. Inauthenticity is a defense mechanism and prevents healing and forward motion. I think some people just overdo it. They go over the top. You know why? Because there's a ton of hidden stuff. Well, Jacob had enough, and he said, it's time to wrestle with God. It's time to get through this. It's time to say, you know what? I want to face what's on the other side, but I want to make sure and face it with you. Here's something I want to tell you. Had he not done that, remember, hiding issues only restrains your healing. And then second, hiding issues then restrains others' healing. Went to that pastor and I said, you know, hey, I did this. And he was like, dude, I haven't thought about that in years. It didn't even really mean anything to me. To me, it just meant a lot. With my dad, if it was this big, it was this big. And that's just how I've lived my life. I've tried to get past that. You know what I'm saying? It's hard. But him coming there in the next couple of weeks, he wouldn't have cared. He would have been fine with me. He embraced me. It was actually about me. I wouldn't have been able to be okay. I would have sweat in that first meeting. I would have been the one that... So again, healing of the hidden after a revelation, it does something. It changes interactions. It changes possibilities. And I hope that's your desire. All right, let's go to Jesus the healer. I want to tie this all together for you. If you would go to Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. Jesus, and your title will be Jesus Calls the Levi. You know the Levi is Matthew, and so significant moment here. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi. And I've preached about this passage, so you'll be pretty familiar. Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. I love this. There's no discussion. There's no questions. It's a beautiful moment. And leaving everything, he rose, because oftentimes leaving what's behind takes a what? A stand. He rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at the table with them. Just think the IRS is all in a circle, and there you are. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumble to his disciples, saying, And this is significant because they love to confront Jesus. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. All right, let's just establish some facts real quick. This is a hard one. Many of you are facing sickness and illness. I've faced sickness and illness. We all have. We've probably all been in that boat. But let's just establish something really quickly. If our bodies are wasting away, but we're held in the arms of Jesus, we're fundamentally well. I know that's hard. Because see, some of you here today are praying for healing, and I'm praying for that for you as well. But my largest prayer, the most fervent of prayers, is for your heart. Because your body at some point will give. It will be done. It will release its time here. So I want you to establish that. And by Jesus saying this, what did he do? He reminded us of that fact. He reminded us that he came to heal the hearts. He came to mend the people. Jesus' focus, he wasn't disagreeing with the Pharisees. He wasn't saying their actions were good. He was saying, my goodness, their actions are not good. That's why I'm here to redeem them. That's why I'm here to save them. What's so sad and what the Pharisees didn't realize is how very sick they themselves were. They didn't get that Jesus was there for their sickness as well. All right. I want to just kind of overview some healings that Jesus did to kind of get you and loop back to the Old Testament story. I believe Jesus has a desire to heal the Esaus and the Jacobs, the Joes and the Ashleys, the Misties, the Rudies. And I believe if Jesus were here today, he would say, that is my heart. That is my mission as Jesus the healer. Jesus often healed the physical, but he more often healed the what? The spiritual. He more often healed the past. He more often came and said, go and sin no more. He more often said, hey, you need to, I can heal you from, I can take the hurt, I can transform your, that's what Jesus is about. So, let's just review this. His hip was dislocated, but his heart was right where God wanted it. His hip was dislocated from then on, but his heart was right where God wanted it. Is there a part of you that's dislocated, but your heart is right? Or is it time to get dislocated so your heart can get right? Is it time, let's just say it more real, is it time to do some wrestling, some healing, some mending, some going back and repairing? Is it time to recognize that God is saying, hey, let's work, wrestle, and get through this? Because here's what's interesting. Jacob didn't focus on the hip. He focused on the healing. His hip, your hip. When is your hip moment going to be? When are you going to say enough is enough? When are you going to say I'm willing to work through it? I'm willing to wrestle through it. I'm willing to say, you know what? My attitude today is not the one that Christ has called me to have. When are you ready to say that thing that plagues me, it's time for me to go back and say that thing that still rises up and eats at me daily, it's time to have a hip moment and get past it. When is your hip moment going to happen? See, that's where healing starts. Let's think about it maybe in this way. When's your tax collector moment? Are any of you tax collectors? It's okay. But I mean, when is your like, Jesus is coming and saying, you have a heart issue. You're taking from people. It's time for you to let go. Jacob took from Esau something that wasn't his. It was time to deal with it. Levi/Matthew took from people something that wasn't his. And see, when you're not with Christ, you don't even realize it, but you take from people what's not theirs. The world is doing a good job at it. They make it glossy and beautiful, and they just take and they take and they take. They call it other things. Maybe you're the Pharisees. You don't see healing in that way. You see healing just in the physical. And if that's not happening, then your God isn't real. Is your healing being delayed? Jacob was growing in favor with the Lord. Jacob was growing in knowledge. Jacob was growing in humility. And you know what he did? He let 20 years go by. And come on now, the minute it faced him, you know what he knew, right? He knew something was off. So this was not a surprise to him. This didn't take him by surprise. And so if you're 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 5 years from getting back and saying, it's time to clean this up, stop delaying it. Because I believe that you're delaying more than just your healing. And maybe it's just because you're not willing to wrestle. You're not willing to stick it out. You're not willing to say, you know what? I am going to get through this. He said, you are going to bless me. Now, most of us in the church, actually, most of you will go out today and say, I would never insist from God. Jacob did. And it worked out. Esau, can I just be honest with you? This is so funny. Esau comes up. I mean, this is how crazy this is. And he's like, what's going on, brother? Like, why all this fanfare? Why are you all lined up? You're all laying down. I was just coming to like see you and give you a hug. You know why? Because sin brings about a fanfare. It gets bigger than what it should be. It gets mightier. It gets a place. It gets a... You deserve what's on the other side of wrestling with God. See, some of you fall into the pack today that just says, well, I just don't deserve it. You do. Jacob didn't deserve it. But you know what God's good at? Giving people what they don't deserve. And you know what's great is every one of you have received that. If you've received Christ, you've received something that you didn't deserve. And so start wrestling with the idea that even though you don't deserve it, God has a desire to give it. And so I want you to think about this. When you stop trying to fix Esau and start fixing yourself, that is when real healing comes. If you can get right with you, then you can get right with God. Then you can get right with others. Did you hear that? When you can get right with you, then you can get right with God, then you can get right with others. See, most of the problems you have with other people that really are not you, you ever have those people in your life, their behavior, you just don't know what to do with it. You don't know how to wrap your hands around it. You don't know why they act the way they do. You don't know why they put their stuff on you. You don't know why they're carrying their baggage. You don't know why they're telling you off. You don't know why they're running around like a chicken with its head cut off. And the bottom line is they haven't dealt with them yet. Don't be that person. When you get honest with yourself, then you get honest with God, the rest is going to begin to work out. So let's tie it all together. When we have a realization that the hidden needs to come to light for healing, we encounter Jesus, the healer. And you know what? Leave the rest up to Jesus, the healer. Stop saying he did and he didn't. He did. He is. He is healing. He is a healer. He is going to give you a new body. If you'll get right with you, get your head in order, get right with him, then he's going to begin to work things out before they even get to your front door. When we have a realization, let it come, let it roll, let it change you, let it give you a drive to wrestle with God, to hold on to, I'm going to get through this, I want to hear what's on the other side, so that the here and now can be worked out. God, we thank you today for your words. God, they're hard words, a lot of words, a lot of thoughts. But today you have a tremendous desire to bring healing, not only to our souls, but to our minds, to our hearts, to our past, to the hidden, to the stuff, to the things that eat away at us, to the things that hold us down. They are all things that you have a great desire to free us from. So let us realize, let us get past the hidden, and let us get to allowing you to bring healing to us. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for even the victories we've seen here. There are many here today that have been healed both spiritually and physically, and today we honor you for that. Today we praise you. Today we lift our hands to you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great afternoon. Hope you'll join us for Sunday school.